Let me know.
The only vegan cheese I eat is straight from the coochie.
So, folks, hello and welcome to the Late Late Capitalism Show. We've got a great show lined up for you this week. I do have to warn you right at the top, that as you know, we do bad swears, and if you don't like bad swears, this ain't the show for you. But oh, hang on, I'm sorry, I'm getting something coming down the wire.
Dateline, Washington D.C., 220. The nation waits with bated breath after a shocking diagnosis for the President Donald John Trump. In the days that follow, people across the world, some pray, some jeer, some do a combination of both. But tragically, a new development occurs. That's right, the President has indeed passed away. His diagnosis he had tested positive for, having a juicy, fuckable ass.
Oh, I thought he had both,
No, that was about 5 years ago. You see, the president
he got over both.
The president's ass swelled up to twice its normal size. Clearly, he had taken it into the back, and that was one too far. There's no coming back from this for the president. He's dead. His ass, fuckable and juicy as it was, and believe me, it was juicy and fuckable, now lies fetid and rotting, and rigor mortis is setting in. It's now hard. Kind of like a mannequin. If you've ever felt a mannequin, which I have, I've been kicked out of several stores for it. His once fuckable juicy ass is now hard and rotted,
yeah,
like rind cheese.
Mm.
And this is what happened. The president's died.
Gotta hand it to those Clintons. Another one for the body count, baby. She waited. Her time.
This is quite literally Benghazi 2.0.
Yeah. And no, we've been talking about it for a while. Yep. It's come true. Up.
Same amount of gamers involved.
Even Papa John said the reckoning was coming. So, like, this is it. It was
Clinton
the whole time. Yeah,
no, he's been a Clinton op for a while. Yeah. We knew that.
What's interesting is, like, they just gave him, like, the sickest steroids known to man. Like,
he's on the coolest drugs that have ever existed.
He's going to slip.
It's so unfair.
He's going to slip into a Kush coma and die.
Yeah,
like, there's no doubt about it. He's been releasing videos in which he's like very clearly ill. Like, his lips are white, which I've never seen.
And he doesn't sound the same.
No, he sounds.
They gave me the best drugs. Kush Diesel 2.0.
He's even more incomprehensible than normal.
Folks, it's called sativa.
It comes from the earth. If I wasn't meant to have it.
We absolutely love what's happening, he says.
Megan, how do you feel about Mr. J. Trump in the White House right now?
I feel like, sadly, nothing good can ever happen, so he won't die.
Wrong.
Which is really sad.
Here's the deal. We actually have had, after that disastrous debate, we had about three of the funniest days in human history.
Oh, yeah, folks.
And the hits keep on coming. Obviously, Donald Trump announcing at 1 a.m. that he and his wife, FLOTUS, no, Melania.
There was a very funny tweet that was like, why the fuck do you need to marry a woman named FLOTUS?
You know who tweeted that? Like, the E1 guy.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
Sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Branson, good for Branson. The funniest man alive. I hope he sells
really
a million copies of his book.
This is not a bit.
But yeah, he announcing at 1 a.m. that he tested positive for COVID, and then the next day, like, all a murderer's row of actual murderers testing positive for COVID.
Yeah, that was actually kind of sick.
Oh, Hope Hicks. Chris Christie, who was on a ventilator, which means he gone.
Bye-bye, sweetie. So, come on, very nasty.
So how I think people are talking about how they got it, right? And they're talking about, oh, it was the Rose Garden.
The Amy Kobe Bryant super spreader event.
Yeah. But, like, I think that's BS because I've watched a little-known movie called Society that came out in 1986.
Tremendous movie.
And all the elite turn into literal butts.
Bug creatures.
Yeah. And then they turn into like this big amalgamous like flesh monster.
It is a blob.
At the end of the night.
I thought this was a documentary.
It is.
It actually is.
And they do that in order to siphon off of the
folks,
any the proletariats.
We had Amy there. We were doing a shunting. Even Baron was there.
I do like that the downfall, like, you know, after all of this, like, you know, lib outcry, after Comey, after the guy who came after Comey.
James Comey's.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Comey was for a second, and my brain went to Coney, and I was like, seems unrelated.
But. Yeah, after Joseph Coney came in and tried to kill the president with child soldiers.
We've all got that one Comey that can make us bust.
That's why we don't know where the traffic children are, because they're invisible. Invisible children.
Now that
was the name of the corporation who did Coney 2012.
No, okay. I remember that.
We're getting that's off track. The whole Lib Brigade came through. The thing that takes down the Trump presidency is Hope Hicks. That's so fucking cool for me.
That is kind of dope, bro.
Yeah, just an absolute smoke show.
That picture of her holding his hand at the White House. Fuck, I wish that was me!
It's cool.
Now, I have a question for you guys.
Do you wish you were Hope or Trump?
I wish I was Trump's hand.
I wish I had a sick goth GF. Sick mommy GF.
Now, I have a question, because I've seen people talk about this. A lot of, like, purist libs have been posting the Herman Cain timeline. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And I hate it.
So Herman
Cain.
But I
want to know. Yes.
Herman Cain, for those uninitiated, is another Republican ghoul.
Godfather's Pizza.
Yeah. Who died of COVID about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
He got it from a Trump rally. Yeah, happened about 2 months ago.
The Tulsa rally.
Yeah, so he died about 40 days, I think 39, 40 days after he got COVID.
And his account is still tweeting to this very day.
Yeah, he has a ghost account tweeting about how COVID isn't a big deal.
The Juneteenth rally that killed Herman Cain? That's amazing.
It's pretty dark.
That's actually amazing.
So what ended up happening, the reason why people are relating this timeline is that Herman Cain's Twitter account kept saying how great he was
feeling.
He's
doing well.
And would post videos of him talking about how great he is. And the day after Herman Cain died, he tweeted that COVID is no big deal.
Yes. Yeah, which is funny.
Which is pretty sick.
The thing that's interesting about this is, assuming that our dear big wet president follows the same timeline, he will be facing his big wet coffin about a couple days after election night.
That's the real WAP.
Which is the funniest possible
outcome.
That's
the real WAP, wet as president.
Yeah.
Like, what's becoming more realistic is an actual 269, like, draw. And what would be so funny, the funniest possible reality is A, they draw, and then B, Donald Trump dies. And then, like, the ultimate, the cherry on top would be somehow Kamala Harris dying. So
it's just only
Biden. Joe Biden.
It's just Joe. It's always been you, Joe.
His wife is like, you got this, dear.
Hey, I'm going to split you from going to gullet.
Listen here, Jack.
The one thing I don't know anything about was people kept talking about, like, staircases and cars. He did some like show off of his health or something.
Yes, this is one of the best things. As he was being released from Walter Reed Hospital, which he was very adamant is the finest hospital in the world. One of the things he did was a drive-by for his supporters that were outside in
he
a hermetically sealed SUV designed to prevent against chemical attacks, which means he was in a hermetically sealed vehicle with like four Secret Service agents.
Oh no!
Like,
so
yes,
sad.
He's obviously breathing heavily and he's spreading COVID, but you know he was just like ripping farts in that thing.
Oh yeah.
Because that was after, according to OANN, his doctor said that he was eating back-to-back plates like a madman.
Yeah. And you know he doesn't eat anything except Burger King, McDonald's, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was literally eating like three or four quarter pounders at a time, and just like cutting
the fish fillets because they're healthier.
That's right, fish delight.
So what it was that his doctors told him he can't leave the hospital, but like doctors can't legally tell you
doctors
that.
Lie.
Doctors lie.
So what he did was he wanted to do this drive by in support, but like what? Yeah.
Grove Street. That's what he's
he had to go. He's like the ballers. They're out front of the hospital.
Oh, he was before I fucked everything up.
Oh shit! Here we go.
He had to work
again
up his strength in order to hold the gun sideways.
That's right. He didn't have enough respect to recruit more than four Secret Service guys at a time.
I just imagine they're putting him through physical therapy, and you see like the health bar in the corner, like the strength bar going up slowly. He's just jogging on a treadmill.
He's got the ding sound as it goes up very slowly.
Yeah. So he went out there and against doctor's orders and decided to bring people with him because he wasn't fit to drive. And that then they fair. Put him in this like yeah. literal airlock.
Specially designed SUV.
Specially designed so that no air can come in or out.
Yes.
Literally the worst possible containment unit you can have.
He hotboxed the car with COVID.
Running out of air. No, yes. It was in general.
Amazing. And then, yes, when he returned back to the White House, they had this like big, like almost not rally, but like display of force designed where he was going to climb to the top of the stairs. They're going to do like a flyover with like a helicopter and film it all. And as soon as he got to the top of the stairs, everybody was like, this man is clearly like struggling to breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's gulping it like goddamn.
He looks like he actually looks what? Rough.
Like yeah, he was literally giving a ghost the gawk gawk. That's what it was. Herman Cain came by to tell him what was up, and he just started sucking his ghost.
Yeah,
that's right.
Sonking and fonking the spirit the of
reason,
Mr. Cain.
The reason he's saying that COVID is not stressful is because he's not actually dying of COVID. He just used up all his life energy. Remember?
That is true.
Oh, true.
He thinks you have one full amount, and then you just use it up as you exercise.
It's like a battery.
Yeah. Wait,
being
wait,
the
wait.
President was too tired.
What is this?
This is Donald Trump's theory about how biology works.
Yeah, basically your body is a battery and it has a limited amount of charge.
You're born with a set amount and if you exercise, you're wasting
You're using energy.
That's
sick. Yeah, that's actually true. Like he honestly believes this and it's so amazing.
That's kind of cool though.
And now the person who I hope dies the most, obviously Donald Trump dying, hilarious.
Yeah.
But the person, the most net positive would be Stephen Miller.
Oh yeah, no, he's a worser evil for sure.
There's not even a swear word offensive enough to describe Stephen Miller. Like there's nothing I could say that would do justice to how much I hate. If you took the word hate and engraved it on every single grain of sand in the Sahara Desert, you would not even be 1/1000th of how much I despise this living, breathing, walking Obama fucking nation. I would love for him to
Obama nation.
That's right.
That's right. I know what
he
I said.
He kind of does look like white Obama.
So one thing I was really wondering, and it might be because I'm just woefully unaware, but like where's Pence in all of this?
Oh, he's laying low.
Yeah. Why wasn't he connected?
He's excited.
No, he was at the Rose Garden thing. He just didn't get paused up.
No, yeah. The light of the Lord protects him.
I was gonna say I had this theory that the Death Star has like a force field around it, and yeah. I figured he's kind of like the Sith Lord.
Yeah, well, for me, I feel like Mother gives him a sponge bath every night, and that cleans him up.
But Mother is actually like Psycho, and it's just a dead carcass. Yeah, well,
Mother is what he calls his wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry, bud.
Honey.
Sorry you had to hear that from me.
That hurts.
But unless anyone has anything else to say about, again, our fearless leader absolutely getting fucking owned by the bat virus.
He owned the libs with
I'm
that
I'm pulling
one.
Up a voice clip of him saying, I feel great.
I feel great.
I feel great.
I feel great.
Okay, so yes, this is something that has been noted, but he is turning into Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the final thing I'd like to leave off on, which is that he is doomed to become what he despised the most.
Weak.
And that, I think, is the most galling and horrible thing for him. Not just weak, but specifically Hillary Clinton, because in the run-up to the 2016 election, on September 11th, 2016, Hillary Clinton had a very public fainting spell at the 9/11 memorial.
Yeah.
Which she was then like carted into a white van and like dragged away, so her body double essentially was popped out of the toaster from Futurama so that could continue the campaign. But like Donald Trump, this is his equivalent of fainting on 9/11. He's contracted coronavirus and become weak. He had to be carted off in some, fart SUV so that he could be like lay low for a couple days and then release videos saying, I feel great.
It's definitely, I don't know, of all the times for the conspiracy people to come out and say that like a body double has been put in place, now is the time. Like they didn't work the kinks out of the robot and that's why he breathes like that. He thinks it's natural.
And that video of him walking to the helicopter was either not him or he had lost like 50 pounds. Because that was the most fucked up shit it was a completely, you didn't see his massive centaur-like ass, his big juicy fuckable ass. It was just some guy walking. He has that weird growth on his face from the steroids, like a big red splotch on his face. Like the man looks like shit.
It's gonna grow a little Donald Trump that's gonna talk every once in a while when he does speeches.
It's gonna sound like
a smaller, more orange president.
Yeah, no, it's gonna sound like Gilbert Gottfried.
But I when God closes a door, folks, he opens a window. I'm pretty sure last week's episode was probably the most depressing, most black-pilled, darkest episode
and
we've done.
That includes the one about the Nova Scotia shooting that happened like 3 days
I was feeling like absolute shit after we finished recording just because of what we talked about. But then, you know, balance in all things. A gift. Several a gift gifts. From the Lord unto us.
Several genuine gifts.
Yeah, just praying and praying and praying for all these people to die.
And if you aren't actively looking at the Donald Trump Twitter feed, I'm letting you know that is some of the best like content if you think the world is about to collapse. Like it is genuinely like you can have a romp and a riot. Donald Trump should write the next Coen Brothers film and we would all just laugh our asses off and he'd be like, no, this is serious. I promise you.
The White House, very exciting place. And boy is it ever. Let's hope the body count begins. We're currently at zero. Well, I guess one if you count Herman Cain.
Let's all do a quick bless up to Hillary for that one.
Yeah, Hillary.
Thanks, Queen.
Thank you for shooting him with the coronavirus COVID gun. Yeah. That's right. Now do Bill next.
Alrighty, so this week, moving on to Canadian problems. The Green Party picked a new... Okay, sorry, that wasn't funny. I'm getting bullied. Alrighty.
I thought it was a good bit, Megan.
It wasn't even a joke. I just thought I couldn't think of a segue, and that's what came out of my mouth. It's fine. The Green Party picked a new leader. Dean and I, you know, listen to what people tell us to do on Twitter all the time. So someone said, join the Green Party and vote. And we were like, okay. Yeah, I personally am not usually a green gal, but I thought this would be a fun chance
to
like...
surprised me. Huh? It's a little inside joke.
I do love the environment. Oh, right, because Jesse calls me Big Green.
We gave Megan a nickname based on a Dragon Ball Z dub. So if we ever have the fan meetup or the fuck a fan contest, in which I will only choose, there will only be four people eligible and they won't know unless they enter.
It's actually the Dean Glory Hole contest.
But, oh, that'd be so sick. But you can call Megan Big Green in person and draw any fan art of her as the Jolly Green
as
Giant.
As Piccolo, that would be cool.
Or as Piccolo. Keep it clean, though.
Look. Yeah, please. Okay. So
let's get back on this.
One time, someone that was sort of friends with Dean and I edited a picture of us as spider riders.
Yeah, that was strange.
And we didn't really know him that
we
well.
We didn't have time to unpack all of that.
That's so hot.
I'm pretty sure I was the spider, though. And Dean
yeah,
was
and I
the
was
rider.
The rider, babe. No, that's like right. That.
Yeah, that's kind of hot.
Okay, so the Green Party picked a new leader. We joined and we voted. Fucking didn't matter, though. Actually, it did matter. The guy we voted for came second. He came pretty close, but sadly, I don't know. I don't want to call her boring. She's like the first black leader of a federal party of Canada, which is pretty cool. Like
that is kind of sick.
That's something. And like
more than something. That is very impressive.
Yeah, like it's very impressive. She like obviously like campaigned super hard. She worked really hard for her. Her name is Anime Paul.
Segui.
Yes.
Her name is Anime Paul.
I lulled because everyone in the Green Party is French and on stage they were just chanting her name after and they were just going, Anime, 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 Anime. And it was like, cool, all
right. That's what they need to win Quebec. They do need to commit to like...
She needs to dress up as the guy from One Piece.
She's going
to
wear an Inuyasha costume and talk about Quebec sovereignty. And she's going, the Green Parties are going to win every single seat. Yeah,
so she, like, obviously very impressive. She's very politician-y, I find. She was, like, the most... She sounded more like a federal leader at the debates than the rest of them did.
So the most polished.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, she knows what she's doing. She campaigned hard. I don't, like, dislike her or anything. It's just a lot of her speeches and where she's going forward with the party was all just about how... This was like a milestone because she is the first black federal leader. And that was like really the only messaging. It was basically just like, I campaigned so that we could have diversity at the top, like, of Canada. Like we need to represent how diverse our country is. And like, we've made history tonight by like electing this like first black leader, but then didn't really talk about what she wanted to do at all, really. Right. And like, that was the main thing. So I was kind of like, eh, okay. And then if you're reading her policy, it's like, There was two eco-socialists running, which we'll get to, but her policy wasn't as cool, obviously, as theirs. It's not horrible. It's like kind of basic green stuff. It to be honest, it's kind of to the right of Elizabeth May a little bit, which is like Elizabeth May wasn't super right. It's just they're not super fiscally left at all, which I find upsetting.
Well, Elizabeth May was a lib, like, through and through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It basically just like liberals that care about the climate crisis a bit more, which is better than a liberal, but I don't know.
No, it's still a liberal. Sorry. They care.
Yeah.
Is a subjective term.
Yeah.
Well, it was only... So one thing that I want to point out is like I followed the Greens for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
even though I haven't necessarily voted for them and backed them up. But that's because I don't think their policy is as fleshed out as I want it to be.
They're just like not... economically left at all, too. Which is so annoying.
What it usually comes down to, right, is that their leadership under May was always trash because mm-hmm. she never actually had policy, mm-hmm. ever. A lot of the time she would say things if asked of her, but there was never actually very many opportunities where she presented policy. The thing that was making Green popular was far from May, and it was actually the local representatives in each area.
They are very popular in their ridings, too. People 100%. Like love the Greens that run in their districts.
Because
really
they are actually very good and have very good policies, and usually it ends up being like lawyers or like even long-term politicians who decided decided that their party was just not doing anything. Mm. So they go green in order to be like an actual opposition, right?
Yes, which I totally find is the opposite of the other parties where like you really like the leader, or people do, I guess. Mm-hmm. But like who gives a literal fuck about the liberal and conservative running in their riding? Like they don't say anything. They're just like, I like Trudeau and I like Scheer. Then so that's where, if you vote for me, you're voting for them.
So that's where I was... very excited, and that's why I was following along with the Green leadership race, because I was like, finally May is going to leave this party, because she's always treated it as if it was a group of yes people. And it was really sad because all of these people really wanted very radical change, very immediate change, and would let you know exactly what was going on, whereas May as a representative of that party literally did nothing other than kind of like embarrass herself.
It seemed like a
and
vanity.
When she was when
I
she
liked
was,
her debating style, to be honest, but
understandable, but it was much more casual in comparison to anyone underneath her, which was sad, because then it becomes, why is this your party when everyone else seems a lot more competent than you?
I honestly feel like this is going to be the problem with this woman. Like I don't know, and again I feel bad like saying that I don't like her and downplaying it, because like it's impressive, but yet like just total like lack of anything policy based. When someone asked her about the fact that so many young people had joined the party to vote for eco-socialist candidates, and like how that was a huge deal, they got like 15,000 new like registrations or something in the last couple of weeks, she was kind of just like, well, if you want progressive, you should look at Elizabeth May's policies from 2019, and just listed the 2019 policies. And I was like, okay, like, cool. Yeah, like, literally, what are you going to do, man? Yeah.
You know how you're so excited about this new prospect for the party? Consider everything that we did the year before that you didn't give a fuck about.
That you didn't care. Yeah.
Joe Biden actually is the most progressive platform for any presidential candidate ever.
So, and that, to me, showed that, like, she's not really putting any thought into moving forward at all. It was just like someone literally asked her, like, what progressive policies are you going to put forward? And she's like, well, we've been progressive this whole time. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a great leadership in May. And the people that are like high up in the Green Party, like May and the woman that was the interim leader, love Annamie Paul. Like they were literally almost crying tears of happiness on stage. They were like dancing. Elizabeth May retweeted so many things being like, yes, please vote for Annamie. And she retweeted a bunch of really negative things about the eco-socialist candidates, which you're not supposed to do. No, I don't know if like there's an actual rule against it.
Both of those
it.
Are very
well.
But legal.
So the thing with May, right, is that she is literally always treated as a popularity contest. And the thing with May is that she is very similar to PETA as an organization, in the sense where they are very much one platform, and they will literally shit on other ideas if it has anything that it doesn't have to do with their platform, even if those other ideas inherently do have to do with their platform, right? So when things would come up about socialism or just like how to spend money, she would be like, it doesn't matter, we're here for this. And people would be like, well, and try to explain. And that's where like a lot of the people under her understood that everything is connected when it comes to politics.
And being fucking left is the only way to save the climate at all, which is so frustrating to me. And also there was, I was watching a bunch of debates about like when they were running, and there was one guy who was kind of like, we need to really appeal to conservatives, like I want to be like I want to be fiscally responsible while still dealing with the climate crisis. Yeah, that guy came dead last. Like, no one fucking likes that. I like, who joins the Green Party and is like, yeah, I really would love to be like fiscally responsible, so, sort of right of center, like climate change activist.
He's a cop. He's very clearly trying to infiltrate to get the radical elements out of there.
So like I was saying, with May, she likes the popularity contest aspect of it. And it sounds really childish of me to say that, but I swear, if you look at any of the times that she's spoken, it's very obvious that there's hints of narcissism there when it comes to the people like me. And literally anyone who is a voter for the Green Party who isn't friends with May is like, we're not voting for May. Mm. We're voting for the party and the people that are a part of it. We hate May as a leader.
Mm. So, wow, I didn't know that.
But the reason why it seems like that isn't the case is that the people that are May's friends are incredibly wealthy. Mm. So those people mixed in with Paul, right? The reason why they backed her up so much and gave her so much headway in comparison to everyone else is because May still wants the recognition that her party is doing well by trying to garner swing votes rather than actually appealing to the people that are already on that side.
Yeah.
So the thing is like, last year or the year before, they changed their motto to not left, not right, but forward. Which is bullshit. But the reason why they did that is because she said that there was too much divide and that economic or ecological activism has nothing to do with politics.
So right. Fucking
which
stupid.
which is inherently wrong.
Yeah.
And people in her party knew that, and people that were voting for that party knew that. But May didn't grasp that. So she backed up Paul because she seemed the most moderate of the group.
Yes. So I feel like the conservative policies obviously don't go over well in the Green Party. They come like the guy came last, et cetera, et cetera. No one wants to do that. But it frustrated me that the woman who ended up winning was like, at least she wasn't saying that she wanted to be fiscally responsible. She just wasn't talking about it at all. Like, there's just like a total lack of policy whatsoever. Her platform was about how they're going to be the most democratic, diverse, and daring force in Canadian politics, which, like, daring means nothing. Diversity, she was just talking about, like, getting herself elected as leader. Mm-hmm. And then democratic, it's like, okay, yeah, like, this is democracy. It's like electoral politics. So, like, cool. I don't know. Whereas, like, they could be such a cool party if they just fucking targeted the left, because there's so many young people on the left, and the NDP is obviously failing them. Like, no one really loves the NDP at all.
NDP, like, the last thing that I remember reading about them is like Jagmeet Singh having this talk about how we need to support more small businesses and like inject more money into like propping up small businesses.
Well, no, he did the indigenous guy on the skateboard with the ocean spray. That's kinda cute. TikTok.
That's, oh, right. That's I forgot about Jagmeet, the cute
what are you
TikTok.
Doing on TikTok again, buddy?
Oh, stop.
So, well, the thing with the NDP, and I read a really good synopsis on this the other day, is that the NDP would garner so many more votes if they actually tried to put forward the policy that they were originally founded on.
They were a Labour Party. Like, be a Labour Party. If they were a Labour Party.
It's honestly depressing.
If they maintained being a Labour Party, they would win conservative votes, because a lot of those votes are coming from working class people, mm-hmm. and they want to see change in the workforce. Mm. Like, as long as it benefits them. And that's why they get swindled by conservatives, because the conservatives are like, hey guys, you'll make more money. And then they're like, sweet. And then they vote them in, and then they're like, where's the more money? And they're like, oh, well, we made like billions. You guys didn't get any of that?
No, didn't you see line go up?
Yeah, line went up. That means you guys are making more.
Love trickle the down. Conservatives, though. I don't know if they will move over. But like,
no, it's true. It's been shown. Like, if your platform works in for like the literal working class people and like factory workers and stuff like that, if you talk about being on their side and wanting to represent them in parliament, they will vote for you.
Yeah, I just feel like, again, that's part of why they like people think that they can get conservative votes away from the Conservative Party, which, like, pretty hard to do. And instead, but there's like this huge movement of like young leftists that everyone ignores. Like, we have technically three parties that are supposed to be somewhat on the left, and none of them will remotely touch leftists with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah,
and
they're all trying to remove themselves.
And
right?
Like, why do we need three centrist parties in a conservative party? Like, what the fuck is that?
Well, no, it's like, it's perfect Canadian politics, because it's like, again, it's all, you know, pageantry and signaling about how like nice and like kind we are without actually doing anything, right? It's perfect.
Oh yeah.
But like, no, like just looking, being in such close proximity to the States, and watching like, you know, the rise of Trump, the really extreme reactionary right take a stronghold on their government, and B, watching the rise and fall of Bernie Sanders and that massive like populist progressive movement. Like, as Canadians, we've done an episode about this, how there is no Canadian Bernie, and that there's been a complete like void and vacuum of like populist, like leftist ideals in this country. And the Greens had such a perfect opportunity with this leadership race to put a socialist forward, someone who is like declares themselves a socialist, says they're pro-worker, has all of these, policies about minimum wage, about improving like labor laws and bolstering the power of unions, and they squander it. It's
they fumble.
Yeah, and like, to in all fairness, we got close.
Yeah,
like,
really close.
The leading like socialist was Dimitri Lascaris.
Yeah,
who is very cool. He wanted to boost up minimum wage to $20 an hour.
He's also a card shark, eh?
Is he? Yeah, that's cool.
I don't know. This could all be bullshit. The movie 21 was based on his life.
Yeah, sure.
Is this a joke? I don't know.
No, this is what I heard. I could be completely wrong. What? Continue. I'll look it up.
I also want to say, so we're complaining about how the Green Party fumbled it, et cetera, like fucked it up. And you could argue, well, Megan, the votes were in. The people decided of the party decided what they want. Okay, one, half the people in the party are like 85 and really annoying and have bad takes. Second, this isn't just like me saying like, oh, my guy didn't win, so I'm sad. Like, they actively tried to make sure that the socialists like could not succeed.
Yeah,
we haven't
even talked about Miriam.
Yeah,
yet.
So that's what I want to get into now. So, what I said earlier about May constantly like retweeting things being like fuck the socialists. So the one that she had this huge problem with is Miriam Haddad, which was my second place choice. I also wanted her to succeed, and
that was my first.
She sadly did not win, as we know.
Green for the planet, red for the people.
Yeah, she had a little watermelon.
It was a watermelon, and it was the cutest fucking thing.
It was very
thing.
Cute. Yeah. She also Miriam's cool. Her and Dimitri have similar policies, and like I agreed with him on a lot of points. But Miriam gets bonus points for being very online.
She followed me on Instagram.
Twitter.
Yeah,
she followed me on Instagram, which was sick.
So May hated her, retweeted about how she was like unfit to run, everything like that. She actually got banned from the race. She was taken off the ballot 4 days before voting started and had like 2 days to get herself back on the ballot. She did eventually, but, so literally the Green Party removed her campaign, and it was because she had talked about, there was two things. She never fully explained why she was kicked off the ballot, but one was the possibility that she talked about doing a joint coalition with the NDP to pass the Green New Deal. Like, if they were to get enough seats, like to make one party and get enough people elected that they could pass it. That's sick as fuck. Do that. That would be so fun. One leftist party that's actually cool.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
And also has the like half. the manpower of two.
Half a leftist party.
True.
NDP is.
But no, because no, like the
center.
No, the Green will overgrow all that, babe.
Like a vine.
Yeah.
Plants.
It'll be half a leftist party. There's no thriving and surviving. Leftism and threatens liberalism.
The other thing was that she shit on the BC Greens, which because they're a fucking shitty party. Yeah. So like, and they don't care about the environment at all. Like, okay, cool. So anyway, so the powers that be in the Green Party removed her, and it was really shitty. And the whole thing was just a nightmare. And then everyone in the party voted against them and gave a lot of money to Annamie Paul. So anyway, I'm annoyed is what I wanted to say.
So it still sounds like there isn't. There's not a left party.
No, because now we still have three centrist leaders.
Don't vote anymore, people. Don't vote. Voting is pointless. Do not vote anymore.
My theory is vote, but like make that a very minor part of your life.
You can write vote on your gun. Now, okay. That's fine.
You're the one that wants to run for mayor. That's like
no, I'm politics. The one who wants to kill the mayor. That's okay. That's the understanding that's been established.
Parody.
Weird drama. Did you know that Dimitri Lazarus, I think is his last name?
Mm-hmm.
He accused Anthony Housefather and Michael Levitt in 2018, two Jewish liberal MPs, of being more loyal to Israel than Canada.
Hey, that's cool. Shit. He's probably right.
Yeah, no, yeah. He's completely right.
He got shut down for anti-Semitism for that.
Okay, that sounds like TBH saying once that. Again, that's a little rough.
Criticizing Israel though is not anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
But criticizing people as they're for being for, Jewish. Yeah.
Is that what he did?
Or yeah. Is it because of the fact that they just?
Or are, did, like, it sounded to me like he just
Zionist yeah. freaks.
Zionist freaks.
They might exactly. be Zionist freaks.
I would assume
you can be a Zionist freak and Jewish.
You can also be a Zionist freak definitely. And not Jewish. Yeah. In fact, most of the Zionist freaks aren't Jewish.
We're looking at you, Trump.
That
and
was another
Patterson.
Thing. May tweeted when because Dimitri came a really close second when enemy won. May tweeted anti-Semitism like has no place in the party yeah. or something like that because enemy is
so
pro
fucking tired.
Israel and yep. Dimitri is like
we already
really,
did all this shit with
really
Corbyn.
Not
this is the
pro Israel.
This is like this is the thing they'll do to you. This is their smear. And it didn't. The only reason it didn't work on Bernie Sanders is because he's the most Jewish man who is alive. So they can't.
Honestly,
be like,
it would have been so bad if he.
And they
wasn't,
tried. They
like,
still tried yeah, they, it, they even tried, though he is the most Jewish man to ever live.
They eventually gave up. And the Bernie bro stuff also just didn't work because they had played that card in 2016.
Yeah. But also, like, our podcast is officially anti-Semitic for calling Bernie Sanders the most Jewish person yeah. to ever live.
I mean,
that's not true. We have Larry David.
They're related.
They're the same. He plays him on SNL.
They are literally related by blood. Yes, they're distant cousins.
Oh, hell
Larry
yeah.
David found that out and was like, oh, this is sick. No, it's... And that's the thing. I'm so fucking tired. The Israel thing is hilarious. It's...
Do you want to hear another wonderful. Reason why we should love Elizabeth May?
She spills tea. That's
so she got an email... or rather, an email has been leaked within the last 24 hours of a group coming forth to call the executive director of the Green Party, Pratik Awasi, as being a sexual predator.
Uh-oh.
With receipts. And they sent it to different members of the Green Party, in which Elizabeth May was one of them. And she replied back saying, we will look into this. And then it never had an investigation.
Normal.
She's Hillary.
Oh my God.
She has earned the Hillary reputation. Cause her whole thing, like all the people my age that liked her are like, oh, she spills tea. Like look at her sassy reaction during the debate.
Oh, she's such a mom with all these little boy, like Jagmeet Singh and Justin Trudeau. Like that was the zeitgeist that I heard.
Yeah,
everyone's like, oh, she knows so much more than all these like little boy politicians.
Like, does she?
They
she
are all little boy politicians.
Yeah, they are.
They're all like 40.
Yeah, and they all beat her.
Any policies? People are just she like won her own riding, and that was the only seat the Green Party had for like fucking 20 years. The party didn't grow under her, honestly.
Well, it technically did because they had three last.
What she
at the end yeah. when she was fucking out the door, and she could stop saying, you know, she felt great or whatever fucking dumb shit.
So and now we have. May too. It's so annoying. So they're like the same.
What May said specifically was, I do believe he bullied junior staff in the spring of 2019, but has amended his conduct and learned from his experience. We as a party are at a perilous moment. We are on the verge of a public lynching of an innocent human being.
Okay.
Yeah, accusing my staffer of second degree bullying. Statutory.
Yeah, okay, bullying
he
is
just did
bad.
Some statutory bullying.
You know what it's like
is,
in the locker room.
It's bad in and of itself, but is comparing like sexual harassment to just like bullying
that you can
rough.
Just get over it.
Jesus Christ.
It's
anyway.
Fine. So this is
just joshing around.
So what
how
I want to tell
cyber
people.
Bullied. Ha 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 ha. Just close your eyes.
If you guys don't mind, I do have a closing statement
okay,
that I want to
yes.
give.
Please.
And my closing statement is that for all it's worth, the Green Party as the people on the bottom who always represent the truest form of what the ideology is of any group of people. The weakest link, right? The people on the very bottom, and that being the local representatives of the Green Party, are always the best representation of what that party actually means for people, right? And then you have the people on the top of the pyramid, and they all fucking suck, and we hate them. And they always skew things just to make themselves look a lot better. And that's what May has done. And now she's raised a little May in order to become that, rather than actually what the people wanted. And that's why I've become super doom-pilled when it comes to the Green Party as a whole. And that's why I'm going to be a card-holding Communist Party of Canada member.
Yeah.
Because I'm just over this shit.
Now, cool. Chance, for saying this, you have been put on the Elizabeth May kill list.
I'm telling you, Benghazi 2.0 is on its way.
It's like the clean list, but like a lot less effective, yeah, but nicer.
She's just show, way more incompetent. Yeah.
Instead of COVID, she gives me like the measles or something.
Yeah, when she does the drive-by, she'll do it in a Chevy Volt. So.
Yeah, it'll just like the engine will die halfway through.
So biodegradable bullet. So three of them, God. The back of your skull.
So to all the Green Party optimists out there, I love you. I love you to death, and I believe that your heart is in the right place. But please, we need to look somewhere else, because obviously this isn't going to work in our favor for this time being. Until there is an actual competent leader who is actually going to represent us, we might as well not throw our votes away on someone who is planning against us.
I'm going to ask for my $10 back, and then every single election round, I'm going to do my $10 again and then ask for it back when my person loses. Can't wait.
Now that's praxis, baby.
All right, so we just wanted to also briefly bring up this episode that stuff is happening at 1492 Landback Lane. It's in Caledonia, Ontario. It's Haudenosaunee activists from the Six Nations of the Grand River. They are setting up sort of like blockades and camps at a housing development site, which is like just near Caledonia, Ontario, I think. They've been there for like, what, like 6 weeks now? It feels like long. Like, it definitely is over a month.
Yeah, they were given the injunction order July 31st.
Wow, a long time.
So they were told to stop at the end of July.
Okay, so they've been there for months.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I looked into this briefly. I definitely need to do more research because this is really important, but. I read that this is a housing development proposed by a developer. They originally went and asked band council of the Six Nations about the development like back in 2013, I think. And they've had like ongoing meetings since then with the band council, and the band council signed off on it and was like, yes, and we also agree to publicly support the project. We will like suppress any dissent about the project within our community. We will like formally talk about how we like agree with the project and it's allowed to go ahead. The reason why they have say in this is because it's part of the Holimad track. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce it. That was created in the 1700s, which is like 10 miles or kilometers or something. Haldimand. A bunch of land on either side of the Grand River, which now the actual reserve that the Six Nations live on is extremely tiny compared to that. And however, not everyone in the community agreed that this housing development was a good idea or something that should happen on their land. Obviously, also just fuck subdivision developments in general, fuck suburbs. Anyway, besides the point, but so there's a lot of people in the community that did not agree that this was a good project and have now set up a camp. And that's kind of where I'm at. So I don't know if you have
I have a couple more things to add. It wasn't that a lot of people were necessarily against what the band council did.
Okay.
It's that recently the idea that band councils are necessary for reserves is under attack. Because of what's happened with Wet'suwet'en, because of what's happened with Tiendanega, and because of what's happened with Oka, the idea that band councils and elected councils should be the liaison between Indigenous people and the federal government is under scrutiny because they usually work for their own interest, and there tends to not actually be referendums regarding very important issues. So rather than actually representing the people in the area, they kind of just will take business contracts that work in their own benefit.
Gotcha. And I feel like we talked about this when we were talking about Wet'suwet'en, or Wet'suwet'en, sorry. And it was that, so the hereditary chiefs disagreed with the band council, and the band council, historically, in the past, Canada has been able to basically depose and replace the entire band council if it is staffed with people that are not sympathetic to development interests.
Yeah,
so that's sort of where we're at.
And the band council has come under scrutiny in a lot of different ways. But one of the ways in like academia that it's kind of come under fire is that they see it as a way that the buck has been broken, which is a term that they used to use in the South regarding slaves, where you would take a black slave and you would essentially turn him into an overseer for the land in order to kind of destroy psychologically the people that are there in order so that they listen better. And so they see the band council as essentially being like these indigenous rogue agents. Right. And they would take them and essentially give them as much money as they needed in order to snitch on the people that live there and in order to kind of undermine the people that were already there, using an indigenous person as doing it so that they could say, but he did it and he's indigenous. So therefore, it's really not that bad. He's representing you.
Yeah.
So that's where band councils come under fire. We've talked about the difference between hereditary chiefs and elected band council chiefs before. And if you don't know the difference, you should definitely look into it because it's very fascinating and it's incredibly important to how the indigenous democratic system works. But regardless of all that, the band council saying that this is okay is one thing, right? People are very upset about that. But that's only one part of it. The second part is that this comes not long after Wet'suwet'en. It comes not long after Shut Down Canada.
Yeah.
And it comes only 30 years after Oka, which cumulatively ends up always coming back to this is it, right? The idea that we will die holding this ground because it's the only thing we have left, because there's been enough times that this has happened. And especially when it comes to like land development and stuff like that. And the argument is always, but this will make jobs for you here. And they're like, we can do that other ways. Give us the opportunity to work with you and we will do that. Don't just throw jobs at us that are detrimental to our community and almost always
destroying the land.
Yeah. And always destroy the land.
Yeah. Right?
They're like, please just at least work with us for a moment. So what it was not necessarily the people disliking what was going on as a whole. They disliked the band council's executive order or whatever the fuck. But what it really was is that the bear clan of the Gunungahaga, the Mohawks, I'm not bear, I'm wolf, but of the three clans, the bear clans are usually the protectors of the land. And the members in Tyendinega went to Six Nations because they were called there. So the members in Tyendinega have also been the members that have helped with Wet'suwet'en, have helped with Oka. They were the ones who told Oka to stand down and turn it into a blockade. And they were the ones who did Shut Down Canada at the railroads in Tyendinega. This is the same group of people and the same lineage of people and the same family.
Wow.
Family in a broad sense.
Yeah.
And they were called into Six Nations because they said, we don't have enough people who are actually willing to protest against this. So the members that are protesting right now are members of the community in Six Nations, but it started, the foundation of it came from the Bear Clan in Tyendinega because they called for their help. The reason why that is important is because the Bear Clan in Tyendinega has the war chief is part of that clan, and the war chief, he's like 100 years old, very sweet guy, but he's essentially the one who makes the calls when it comes to these protests, right?
Okay.
And so they weren't going to do this unless they were given the okay. But as soon as you ask him to do, like, if it's okay, he's obviously going to tell his surrounding community, we need to help. He's not going to be like, yeah, they're good. It's fine. So he was like, no, we need to be there in order to do this. And then that pisses off the RCMP. because the RCMP has seen these faces for the last 30 fucking years, and they're like, wow, you're really doing this again? And then they get pissed, and then they start bringing in the army and stuff like that, and then it just becomes a whole huge mess. The problem is that what happens is there's a group of people that are actually willing to stand up for indigenous sovereignty, and even the sovereignty that has been given. This is sovereignty that was on Canada's terms. These weren't even negotiated grounds. Yeah. This was what they said, no, we're only doing this. And then they go back on that. Mm. And it's like, you came up with the conditions.
Yeah, I'm also just looking at the Haldimand track now, and it's 6 miles from the bank of the river on either side. So I just wanted to correct myself.
Yeah, yeah. But so it's like, you know, these were, it'd be like me being like, hey, Dean, I'll totally give you this whole Coca-Cola.
Sweet. Awesome. I love Coca-Cola products.
I'm going to hand you this Coca-Cola now. Have a sip.
Oh, thank you, dude. I'm so thirsty for the Coca-Cola product.
Sip up, buddy. Okay, that's done.
Yeah.
But I didn't finish my...
Yeah, weird, eh?
And that's approximately the same amount of land that they live on now. And so...
They live on a sip of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, freaking basically.
Yeah.
So the recent updates I've seen have been that I think it's the OPP actually who is going fucking insane. Really, really evil shit going on. So there's people camping out and living on this area of land. They obviously need food and water to live. So supporters from like various communities like have been bringing supplies by car in, just food and water, literally food and water. Many of those supporters have now been arrested. So there's been like dozens of the actual land defenders arrested already. Now people who are bringing food and water in get their license plates marked and they're either arrested when they go in or they're looked up later and the police have then gone to their home later in the week and said, earlier you brought food to 1492 Landback Lane, like you're under arrest. So it's been fucked.
They've also arrested journalists. Mm-hmm. A journalist for one spoon one dish was there. He is an indigenous man. He's not a part of the protests. He's part of press. He gets a pass under like UN and Canadian laws. But the reason why they arrested him is because they said that he was corroborating with protesters because he played a game of lacrosse with them.
Oh my God. Yeah, I just want to say
they arrested him.
If you're listening, please follow them on Twitter, and there is also a Facebook group for updates, but I find the Twitter pretty helpful. Also, they are taking donations for legal funds and like food and just general donation funds. So
if there's any ways we can
stick that in the description.
Yeah, if we can put links in the description, they'll be there.
Yeah.
And you please check them out.
And again, it's 1492 Landback Lane. So
it's a good thing we don't have bad cops in Canada like they do in the U.S.
Yeah, yeah, wouldn't that be, that'd be horrific.
It's a good thing
it?
They uphold the laws properly and they don't abuse their power for the complete and utter benefit of white supremacy.
Hmm. Yeah. The only people upholding the law in that situation are the protesters.
Now, I bet our prime minister would say white supremacists are bad, but I don't think he'd do fucking much about it.
No. Actually,
hey, what were some of the promises he made to indigenous people?
That's actually really interesting. I didn't think that he decried against white supremacy as there's a standoff going on at 1492 Landback.
Yeah, he doesn't give a he doesn't give a shit.
Oh, that makes me so much more mad.
Yeah, why do you think I hate this cursed line.
Yeah.
Prime Minister Trudeau, will you denounce the RCMP tonight on stage?
Well, no.
Apologize for the history of the RCMP.
Now, in his defense, if he does use I denounce the RCMP, that's actually a trigger word for their sleeper cells to go shoot another 1,000 people in the fucking country. So
that's true. Got to be careful with that. Yeah.
They all go to their nearest banks to withdraw $400,000.
It's a real shame. God. Considering his contemporary, Pierre Trudeau and JFK really should have switched places.
Yeah. Pierre Trudeau should have been fucking Jackie Onassis.
They were like perfect. They were like the exact like perfect two sides of the same coin.
Pierre, where were you in Houston? One of them got shot in the head,
and one of them got to die of like, I don't know, lack of pussy for like 40 years or whatever disease it was that finally killed him.
He got it from
a real shame. They genuinely should have had different lives, where Kennedy got a chance to be an anti-war guy and Pierre Trudeau got killed before he could break the unions and destroy social welfare.
Antifa Kennedy.
Yeah.
So cool.
I'm going to make the dead Trudeaus. And I'm going to hopefully will it into existence.
That would actually be fucking sick.
Sophie, you can call me, though. I can save you. We're going to make a new line of actual good Canadians. So. Curse of the Trudeaus. Please donate to Land Back Lane. Fuck the OPP and fuck the RCMP. And that's my 2 cents on the matter. Mm-hmm.
So, folks, I didn't want to talk about this. I honestly I've read through.
He was only
really
excited about it all day.
No, I was not. fake news. I didn't want to give this article the time of day because it's so vapid and it's a completely meaningless puff piece. But everyone was talking about it online and we got to hop on the zeitgeist. So here we are. From the National Post, it's already a winner. Opinion, we need to admit that Canada has a left-wing populism problem.
I can't believe that they just let people write whatever they want in opinion pieces. Like, everyone is so dumb. Like, you have to be so dumb to write an article like that. And they let you do it. They paid that guy to do that.
Folks, NP? More like TP, because this paper is covered in doo-doo.
Yeah! Mm-hmm. Woo!
So this was written by Denise Sharov.
Oh, God, we're off to a fucking start.
That was a pretty bad pronunciation, I would
I'm
imagine.
Pronouncing it wrong on purpose for comedic effect,
Denise Sharov.
That's a woman's name. Yeah, this article's already sus.
He is a political strategist from Toronto. He is the co-founder of Truth and Consequences, which is
strategist.
A conservative Canadian think tank that is so boring. It's not even funny.
Truth and Consequences.
Okay, what do Canadian think tanks do? Like, do we have lobbyists here? I don't even fucking know.
A lot
know.
Of the...
They mostly just try to underwrite any kind of, change that could threaten,
but by writing National
order.
Post articles, like what do they
no,
do?
They like fun.
Well, what does any conservative think tank do
of,
at all?
What does shock therapy do to the Negro brain? Is like the name of papers they would write last year.
These guys are even shittier. Their top posts right now are don't compare our statues to those of tyrants. How well do you know Canada's political system? Student empowerment is not what happens at
We
Day.
Like those two about don't compare about our statues to tyrants and how much do you know about Canadian history are probably... I feel like there's a major
disconnect
there.
Yeah, those go hand
there.
In hand, bud.
I feel like what they do at these think tanks is they just upload their brain to servers to mine Bitcoin.
True.
That would be more productive.
That's true.
Denise goes on. He talks about how, yes, there is right-wing populism, and we can see that with Donald Trump and right-wing parties in Europe, which is also sort of bullshit. But Trump is not really a populist. If he was, he would be giving people stimulus checks, but he's fucking not doing that.
Right.
But he says that because we pay so much attention to right-wing populism, left-wing populism has sort of flown under the radar.
Under the radar, it doesn't exist.
It is actually, you say that, but it's actually infected the federal government of Canada.
Oh, right, yeah. I forgot when the federal government of Canada got infected by leftism. That happened.
Yeah, that was sick.
I loved when that happened.
So he helpfully explains that populism is when you promise the people things that they want in order for them to vote for you. This is bad. Don't do that. That's bad. Because it's not a long-term strategy. We have to think about long-term strategies. And Trudeau was elected and rode this wave of popular policies. He talked about tackling homelessness and climate change. But he hasn't solved these problems.
Things that people and want the government to do, bad, stupid.
To be fair, he's definitely tackled homelessness. He just had all the cops literally tackle homeless people while he installed spikes underneath the bridge they live in.
Yeah.
Also, king of not doing what people want then, Peter McKay, is just making me laugh about that time. And he's like, guys, we're just not going to fix climate change. Like, I don't want to make a promise I can't keep. Fucking sucks to be you guys. Yeah,
sucks to suck,
yeah,
boys.
Okay, at least thanks, Peter. But he lost, so boo.
Here's a money line from this one. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's grandiose promises to solve complex and global problems merely by creating new government programs and increasing spending, combined with his constant disregard for criticism and warnings, betray his populist approach. Folks, Trudeau wanting to solve problems as the prime minister by using government programs, sus.
Yeah, that was bad, man.
What the fuck,
What's wrong with this guy? He's like, I feel bad saying anything about these people because they clearly have like mental disabilities.
Yeah, no, it's like we're making fun of kindergartners.
It's bad when the prime minister uses the government to do his job. It's like, what the fuck do you think, you fucking moron?
I know.
In all honesty.
So far from left wing.
I just want to get him like a ring puzzle or something.
What does this motherfucker look like?
I
got his picture.
This is even incredibly far from like libertarian thought, in the sense where like if you're a member of government, you better at least be using the government for the people not for literally anything else. Like most conservatives don't even feel this way about government, in the sense where like someone who joins the government shouldn't use it.
Fuck, sorry. The guy who wrote this article looks a bit like if David Byrne skinned women alive.
Okay, but he looks young. Freak. He really does look like all the authors and musicians that Dean listens to that were active in like 2002 to 2004. If they just then put on a suit that fit them,
he looks like if John Green never got laid.
I was
going
to say John Green of politics.
He looks like the Decemberist guy. He looks like John Green. He looks like Jonathan Colton
He's like an incredibly soy man.
Yeah.
He's soyed up.
But if all of those were doing a master's degree in politics.
Like he has the Peter Griffin haircut. Just like slightly darker. I don't understand what's going on.
From his website, I have his bio here. It says, I have also been actively involved in nonprofit organizations focused on human rights and democracy in Russia and former Soviet republics.
Oh, cool. He's doing USAID shit.
Yeah. I read that and I see human trafficking.
Yeah. This guy's definitely, this guy was actually the main enemy and I spit on your grave 3. Yeah. No, he definitely has like a strong, like pedophile bureaucrat in energy.
Yeah,
like he would be running. He wouldn't be like the guy Liam Neeson eventually kills, but like, or like the guy he's trying to kill, but he would die in like an office building or something as he closes in on his daughter's ultimate location. Yeah, that's actually, yeah, he died very recently. He was killed by an insane guy trying to stop his daughter from being human trafficked, and we pay him for his service, you know, we salute him.
Yeah, he got You Were Never Really Here'd, very sad.
Oh, God. The greatest documentary ever made. Some say it's a future documentary of me in 15 years when I lose a bit more weight and gain a lot more nihilism.
Yeah, he talks about how Trudeau rode this wave of goodwill by promising results, but he has yet to actually solve the problems that he said he was going to solve.
That is true, but I don't know if that's a good point.
But could you imagine a politician saying that they're going to do something and then not doing it? Fucked vibe.
No,
that's
one
populism.
Before Trudeau has done that.
What's he going to do? Make a government policy or, you know, focus group?
Well, the ones that he's done haven't worked. For example, quote, the carbon tax and expensive environmental programs have not solved climate change.
Well, to be fair, carbon tax is not the way to solve climate change.
But it just didn't.
No, but it should have and it didn't. The gender neutral national anthem has not solved gender inequality.
Shut the fuck up.
Once again, who cares?
Oh my God.
Actually, it did. Yeah, that's over now.
And that's coming from a woman.
Yeah, I know. We have a woman on the podcast.
A femoid, if you will.
Yeah.
God, okay.
Yeah, this guy's got like
but
a dog
his
brain.
Points are literally like, don't promise because either you have to do them or you have to not do them, and both are bad. It's
the
like,
supervised
okay.
injection sites have not solved the addiction crisis.
Yeah.
The temporary accommodation of refugees and the homeless in hotels have obviously not solved the refugee crisis nor homelessness.
So
that's because you're creating it, you stupid little vacuous piece of shit,
but
by fucking destroying their fucking countries, you asshole.
Yeah,
fuck, I hope you choke.
No, this is actually, I think we've stumbled on like a cornerstone of conservative thought, which is like a lot of think pieces sort of beat around the bush at, and this is doing the same thing. But the crux of the argument is, if you can't directly solve an issue immediately and without spending a lot of money, it's not worth doing anything.
Might as
about.
Well not try.
Yeah, if you're going to spend a lot of money and if it's going to take a long time, why bother?
Effort means nothing.
Because that, yeah,
jokes
exactly.
on him, because the actual solution to all those problems is more leftism. So yay,
dumbass.
Yeah.
Fucking like, stick it to him,
it's
Megan.
It's so Thank galling you. For people that work for these conservative think tanks to be like, oh, why hasn't the liberal prime minister solved the problems we create? Mm-hmm. It's like, what the fuck?
Or actively create.
Like, the refugee crisis? Guess who's responsible for that, numbnuts? Not just in the wars you fucking created. But also in, like, the neoliberal policies of globalization, which, let's not forget, we're born out of, like, the paleoconservative revolution of the 1980s. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You either have the memory of, like, a goldfish, or you're the most disingenuous fucking person that's ever lived.
He looks like he's 14, so...
No, he has a very smooth face, but he has the haircut of a 90-year-old man. Like, he could be any age between 9 and 300, and we wouldn't know.
He talks a lot about how this rise of populism leads to economic disaster and austerity, yeah. And that he's seen this pattern play out a lot as he has closely observed former Soviet countries.
Imagine
where it played out. They were formerly Soviet, and then they collapsed, but the collapse wasn't because they're no longer Soviet. It's because of populism.
Could you imagine a fucking recession happening in a non-populist country? God, that'll be the day when we have one recession and not fucking four of them in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's
so funny.
He's just lying. Like, he's just straight up lying. There's no way he can be this stupid. Like,
yeah,
he's
no,
just
it's
lying.
Just, but like, the thing that, why even put this out right now? Like, was he just like bored of not hearing himself talk? Like, this is an article for no one.
He'd been looking at it on his Word document for 3 years, so he thought, may as well release it.
It's, and like, there's no inciting incident. There's nothing he's responding to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fucking tedious.
Yeah, it made us all laugh a little bit.
It did, but again, I regret even giving it the time of day.
Dude, he's just a master of absurdism.
Yeah.
Or he's just lying. Like, anytime you see any opinion piece in the National Post to begin with, just be like, they're either lying or they're wrong. And
like
if you
Margaret
do that,
Wente.
you will filter out like 99% of them. Same thing. If you see an article by someone about a country that they don't live in or haven't lived in 30 years, just don't read it. They don't know what they're talking about. Who cares? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, we'll talk about that article, I'm sure, next week.
That's why opinion pieces
but
should
who
die.
Cares?
Like, no, because then our show dies.
No. We're
not an opinion piece.
No, all we do is read the shit, though.
Dude, we're populist leftists.
Oh, right. I forgot.
We're for the people.
Yeah, we like when he talks about the rise of populist leftism in Canada, he's talking about the Late Late Capitalism show. Yeah, baby.
That's right.
He's talking about three neckbeards and Megan.
Hell yeah. You all do have beards on your neck.
Yeah. Okay. There's just one more thing I want to say before we go. And that's that.
No.
I know this is reductive, but easily not as reductive as our friend Denise being. But the idea that like populism is some like scary beast and like a horrible thing for a politician to turn to baffles me. Right? Like populism at its core is giving the people what they want.
It's also
the idea of that being
fucking elect you and they pay you. Like, what else are you supposed to do?
Like the idea of it being bad, like, comes from like ancient Rome with the idea that like the like
They're
rabble
not smart
should
enough.
Not be allowed to make decisions about how the government is run. And like, you can trace that back to like through the Federalists and Hamilton to today.
We still have a Senate, so.
Yeah, no. Fucked vibes. Populism, good, actually. If the raving mobs wants blood, for me, give them blood. Like they fucking deserve it.
You know what? That's why Jesse's platform for mayor is purely on blood for the blood god. And he comes out and we'll just give sacrifices to
him. That'd be fucking dope.
Yeah, I'm going to let all the homeless people disaffected by the fucking city just alone in a room with them for 5 minutes.
That would actually be sick. You get 5 minutes.
No cameras. Nothing.
7 minutes in heaven.
Yeah.
Start sucking dick.
Yeah.
I'm going to let, you know what? If they want to suck and fuck, that's their prerogative.
That's their God-given right.
But what matters is that we're trying to give these people a voice. Well, no, of course, like, there's all these op-eds about how populism is wrong. Because if you actually listen to the people as a politician, what do you need a consultant for?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a consultant to tell you what's happening.
What do you need to read op-eds
so
for?
So many unemployed political
well, that's
studies grads.
Freaks like this guy would not exist if populism was a more consistent thing. Because you don't need consultants. Because people are telling you, hey, we want healthcare. hey, we want fucking better affordable housing.
Hey, I at least want you to listen to my opinion for a second, and hopefully that will change your mind to some degree.
Yeah.
That's all you want.
It's like, what's a consultant supposed to do? Advise you on how to win votes. Well, if populism exists and you realize, oh, I can win votes by not just promising things, but delivering it, the entire political economy collapses on itself. Also, obviously, they're not ever going to allow populism to take hold in a meaningful way because it threatens the capital interests. Because guess what? Most people don't want to fucking make money for a shareholder. They want to be able to feed their kids or not have to pay rent or not have rent be 100% of their fucking money.
Denise.
Denny.
I'm calling him Denise. Denny Wenny. Denise, here's the deal. I do hate you. Yes, I hate you for your politics and your ideas, but mostly I hate you because you made me side with Trudeau in an argument against you, and that feels bad for everybody.
I like that. All right, that was good. I like that.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.